Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Now, if you don't know, Mike, Pen 15 is a show about middle school where all the characters are played by middle schoolers except the leads, who are played by full-grown women. And it takes you about 8 minutes to get past the fact that these are full-grown women that are in middle school, and it is one of the funniest shows I've ever seen on Netflix.
So I'm sitting there, and we're literally like you're rooting for a championship. Rooting for the underdog.
Meanwhile, she's up there saying, could I have a derivation, please?
Chesapeake, Virginia-based Dollar Tree. There's your problem.
I didn't know they were based
there. There's your problem right there.
That's terrific.
Chesapeake, Virginia-based Dollar Tree.
How come we ain't making more money?
I got four quarters. Does that give me anything? Thar!
77% of people... think divorce is okay.
Yeah. How
almost
do you feel
80%.
About it?
Huh? I'm against it. Anyway, thank you very much. I was
and
yes to the first
keep...
two. At least I keep doing it. It's a contradiction that is me.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, radio is a difficult business. It is a tough way to make a living. When we joke about it with people that ask us, "Hey, how do you get into the business of radio?" We really chuckle because not because we don't love what we do, and not because it's not exciting to be on a microphone, and not because it's great to be on the very lowest rung of the showbiz ladder, because it is. It's great. It's what I've done my whole life. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have this every day. This is my for 50 years of my life, this is what I've done. I was, a little less than 50 years, more like 43, 44 years. I was 15 years old when I started being interested in radio. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And it's so much fun to be in this business and to have an opportunity to be in this business at this juncture because of the way we're doing it. I would really, as I reflect upon it, based on the way the business of radio broadcasting has gone, I would have very little interest in being in it in a normal way. But doing what we do, controlling our own destiny, having our own podcast, having a core of listenership that is so supportive of what we do, it has been, I'm not going to say maybe. No, it isn't. It is the most gratifying part of my career. The last 10 years of my career have been the most enjoyable going away. I have thoroughly enjoyed it, and I have been rewarded greatly in radio in years past, much more so than I am rewarded by doing this podcast, but I love doing what I do right now. And one of the reasons I make this statement is when I reflect on what we've been through with radio format changes, with broadcast entities, I'm probably coming at this from a negative point of view, and let me tell you why. Because I empathize with the guys that perform, with the people that turn on the microphones, and they're all over the country, whether it be local morning shows, whether it be syndicated regional shows, whether it be nationally syndicated shows. The guys that are in front of this microphone that do that every single day are very fortunate because they're out there. They're the voice of it. They get the accolades. They get the attention. And that's what they crave in most cases. The worst part of the business of what we do is the business of what we do. Because supervising these men that talk and women that talk into microphones are layers and layers and layers of management and corporations and people that... really, make constant decisions of what's new, what's fresh, what will make more money. There's tremendous pressure on these people to perform financially. And because of that, the guys and gals that do this, that do the performing, are really the hired help and kind of pawns in a very, very cold and difficult game. Because That's why these people do not have job security, no matter where they are. You know, I had a 20-year run with Don, which is just a miracle in the radio business. And the fact that I am doing this now with a podcast and continuing because of the listenership that we got through syndication is even more of a miracle, and I'm thrilled to do it. So in Washington, D.C., when a radio station goes belly up because they have sold to another company that has no interest in keeping the people that work at the radio station, it brings back memories. And so the radio station is next door to the radio station I worked on in Washington, The Edge. Mix 107.3 was the most recent incarnation, and they are having their farewell broadcast today. And it is interesting because I really always thought of them as kind of bulletproof, and then I realized, well, you're not bulletproof if you're working for the company that ended up changing formats for me. You know, this company, Cumulus, was just so misguided. And there's so many of these suits that just change. There's very little stability in radio formatting. It just doesn't exist. They're always under pressure. They're always reacting. And they're always. So this radio station went belly up. They ended up selling their radio station to a Christian syndicator that's going to put Christian programming from a satellite on Mix 107.3. So that's a radio station that's been around D.C. for a long, long time. If you really think about it, they all kind of go away eventually. They really do. They do. They just don't stay. You don't have that stay. Television stations, different story. You got Channel 9, you got Channel 4. They'll be around for a long time. That's just the way it goes. Radio, not so much. So today, they're making a big deal over there that the big news is that Mix 107.3 with Jack Diamond, who I worked side by side with for about a year, is going bye-bye. And he's been doing his jackiest jacking all week long, you know, doing his very he's a very serious-minded guy who's in a business that's kind of silly. He laughs. He's got a sense of humor, but he loves the serious business of radio. He loves to tell that to his listeners, and it's fun to watch because Jack is Jack. He is who he is. He's been who he is. I've worked for the guy at different radio stations that he's worked at. He was my boss for a while. It didn't go that well.
Dyed in the wool is what he is. He is very, very solid and very unitask. He's radio. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he was very nice to me when I went to The Edge and worked at the radio station across the hall. In fact, he's the guy that let me know that the station was changing formats. Actually, let me know. A statute of limitations is up on that. So we all began to pay attention to the demise of this radio station because it's just. And then Oscar and Rob hit me to the fact that Jack got online and was doing a postmortem about the demise of the station, and you know, in his studio talking about it, talking about the ratings, and that's what I. You know, it's a bummer. It's a bummer to watch it because I've lived it. Now, Rob calls me this morning, and Rob is, if anything, a radiophile. Rob is like all of you fans that listen to me.
And in a way, that's a strength I bring. It's a strength I bring, I think. Sure. Because
we'll
if you don't even know your own history, you need me to know your history.
I know. But you called today. Well, we're up on the gun, and you say, "Hey, Jim Elliott's on Q107," and I'm like, "I'm here in Florida. I'm not going to go online and listen to Jim Elliott."
Didn't expect you to. Just wanted to let
you
know.
You're excited.
I was.
You are as excited as a little boy can be. You are just bouncing off the wall because you, at heart, are a radiophile.
Well, I love what I do.
I am not a radiophile.
No, you're not.
I am a radio personality.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I have been for most of my adult life. So
who's Jim Elliott?
He was the morning show host at Q107 before it was Mix 107.3.
Cool.
And he worked with Elliott and Woodside.
And then they
flipped to Mix 107.3 when everybody was flipping to Mix 107.3.
Got it.
That station will always be Q107 to me. One of the great radio ad campaigns in the history of radio was the Q107 girl, where they had the beautiful model with just a portrait shot of her, and she's lip syncing to the personalities.
So great.
Absolute brilliant radio campaign. Maybe the best I've ever seen. You can look it up online and see. Look up Q107 radio commercial, and it was fantastic.
See, he's still talking about it 40 years later. I still remember it 40 years later.
Who's the radiophile?
Well, I'm not. I'm saying that.
You
I mean,
both are.
No, no. He's a personality that remembers a great campaign. I'm just like, so, how come she sounds so much like Uncle Johnny?
No, but when you called today, I remember watching that last night, and I come at it from a different perspective than you do, because as much as it's fun to say, hey, all these old guys are coming back on, and laugh about it a little bit, I still feel the bitterness. And the bitterness of a radio station going bye bye. And if you will remember when they unceremoniously made their little format flip over at WJFK,
right.
I said, let me just record a last hour. I hate the big retrospective, because I'm like, there's no need for it if the powers that be can do their jobs properly and figure out how to sell these wonderful personalities that give their blood, sweat, and tears. There's no need to have this last day on these radio stations that in some way I've always perceived it as benefiting the people that F them over. Mm. I'm sorry, I will That's always valid. Look at it like that.
Radio is a very immediate, in the now medium. It's the way it's always been.
Yes.
It's reactionary. You can act right now. And so it's not as good to look back on radio. I think radio exists best in the present.
Or the only ones that look back at it, the average listener moves on.
That's right. And I think that's important to know.
And so they're bringing all these old disc jockeys back. And, obviously, I'm going to put it on in a positive light.
Okay.
Because even at the, these are a bunch of people that are losing their gigs. And I know that there are people over at Mix 107.3 that contacted people like Jim Elliott and Scott Woodside and brought these people back and put this all together for a last farewell show, including Jack. I'm sure he had a lot to do with
sure.
it. And the level of professional integrity for people that are doing that. And, even I was ready to go, F you. I didn't want it. I only managed to record a last hour. Was it a last hour that I did?
Yeah, it was an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, because it wasn't on my terms. And, I was not thrilled with the way it was done. It was done in a way that so many radio stations do that. These guys are out the door. Who knows where they're going to be working? They'll land on their feet. They've got enough bounce where they'll be doing that, hopefully. And they take the time to give people one last little hurrah as a salute to the radio station. And I think that's very professional.
As a guy who went the other direction and actually played ball, Mike, it wasn't any different. It was the same result, and it wasn't about not being able to say goodbye. It was more about, man, I'm working for 3 months, and at that point, almost 4 months, knowing what's going to happen here. And every day you go to work, because that's what you do.
Right.
And you wouldn't say anything until they would tell you, like, roughly 2 months out there, like, oh, the station's flipping. You got to keep doing your job and smile and pretend like that's not happening.
Right.
But more importantly, like, the goodbye is for the audience. And to do that, and if you have the chance to do it on your terms, it looks like Jack does, then that's their choice. And I completely get that.
Right.
But the goodbye also, for the talent side, if it's not on your terms, I completely agree with what you did. Because if they're not going to give
felt,
you what you
I
want.
I felt I had to say something.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel like. Well, in my case, it was a little different in that the radio station ownership was the same.
Yes.
So they were
That's
continuing.
True.
I'm not going to give them a big splash for that, because they didn't do anything for me. And that's kind of the way I looked at it. But it's always just such a drag. It is a line of in many, 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 many jobs, you perform at a high level and you do a really, really nice job. And if you do that, you're going to probably have yourself a nice little career.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other jobs like radio where you perform at a high level and you do your job and you do it. And you get screwed anyway.
Doesn't
because
matter.
There are people that control the purse strings and make the decisions that's what they do. And it should be pointed out that in radio, in television, in movies, in all of show business, it's constant, what's the next big idea?
Right.
What's the next thing? And you're a victim of that. You really are. And then when you get to a successful level, they look at your paycheck.
Yeah.
And that's a factor, too. That comes into play as well. And it's a tough situation. So
can I ask
what
you
I
a
say
question?
To young people, yeah, go ahead.
You've been at this a long time. I mean, we've all been at it a long time, but you've been at it a really long time. And I think back to when you were doing mornings on WAVA, and let's call it just for, round terms, let's say it's 30 years ago, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 30 years ago, Was it a less, how shall I say, combative relationship between talent and corporate? Because it seemed like it was, there was like more of a sense of fun and more respect for talent then. Were you fooling us? Was the industry fooling us?
No, there was,
none. You wouldn't be able to hear about it.
Yeah,
it
was, I guess
the,
you're right.
It was the same thing. You just wouldn't know. It was the same thing. It was, hey, the corporate guys are coming into town. Right from the beginning, the corporate guys are coming into town. It was always the corporate guys coming into town. It was always, this is going on. Don't do this. Don't do that. We survived because we had good ratings.
Right.
And then the only difference I would tell you is that it became more fragmented. That more radio stations, more. You know, when there were less people doing it, it's tough. And then the behemoths, you know, survive. The Howards survive. There are only a couple of guys that managed to do that. Rush Limbaugh survived. The Hannitys survive. Survive amazing bumps in the road when you consider the content that Limbaugh has, you know, has done, where he's gotten in such amazing trouble. He continues to survive. And that's, you know, that's just a small number of people. But no, it's always, my memory is that it was always tweaking, always selling.
Right.
Always moving different people in that's you know, and people coming and going in a rapid business. And so it was to have a good run. And by the way, that was a two radio station run.
Yeah.
That we had. And then, you know, I had a little run after Dom was gone and then started this. I'll never forget. And with supreme respect, if someone came to our podcast and wanted to corporatize it, you know, wanted to jump in, it would have to be something very
Mike
special.
Mike has said no even before conversations have started.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just,
I like
it would
what
change
we do.
Everything.
Doesn't this cement it a little bit, Oscar, when you
see
what goes on?
Well, I wrote
on?
To you, I said, we are so fortunate not to be in that terrible business.
We are. We have
and that's
fights.
What it
that's
is.
That's literally what I wrote to Mike. I said, we are so fortunate not to be in that terrible business
the
anymore.
Three of
I
us
couldn't
have
thumbs
fights.
Up it quick.
Fast the three enough. Of us have fights. We have the
it's not,
you know,
easy.
Argue with each other. It's not easy. But we punch through it, and ultimately, you know, at the end. And one of the reasons.
Wonderful listeners. Jesus Christ.
I tell you, it's the listeners that keep us chugging along. So over at Q107 across the street, Mix 107.3, they're doing, well, you tell me. I didn't hear it. So you tell me, what are they up to over there?
They're bringing back a lot of people from the past. Some of them are phone, some of them are in studio. Like this morning I heard Barbara Britt, who was his first news lady some 30 years ago, came in and sat down with him. Jim Elliott and Scott Woodside phone in. They were a morning show. And also, Jim Elliott, you worked alongside at WAVA. That's one of the things that...
Tortured him. Tortured the man. Because we competed against him, and so we tortured
years.
Him when he came
about
over.
Bert?
Didn't hear Bert. Oh. Did hear our friend Dude Walker and Scott Woodside. Dude Walker and Doug Limerick. I had not heard them on the air together.
Dude and Doug preceded Elliott and Woodside.
Yeah, and they were. And Dude was great, as always, you know, just charming and
and
lots
I love
of good
Doug
numbers.
Limerick, too. I'm a huge fan of Doug Limerick.
You would have loved it. He did all his catchphrases for them. For ABC
man,
News.
He was the DJ, and they became... Cool. You know, everybody grew up listening to him on ABC News. Where it's like, for ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. You had to hear that guy.
But
that guy was that guy, and he was super tall.
Yes.
And I remember he came to American University where we were doing a muscular dystrophy benefit. And I remember looking at him, and I said, oh, man, I want to be that dude, that Mr. Cool guy. Hey, how about a forecast? Can you read the weather for us, Doug? It's going to be 75 in the burbs. The burbs.
Burbs.
Never heard the burbs before. I loved it.
But the
great DJs.
The reason I called
Doug. Dude Walker is still got a cool about him,
oh,
right?
Yes. He's great. He's
very
the best.
Cool.
And
cool.
And the reason that I called you about Jim Elliott is because I first knew of Jim Elliott through your torture of him on the radio. And then many years later got to meet him at a disc jockey convention and found him to be very nice and got to hang out with him. And I had been drinking.
You are so full of crap.
How am
you
I full of crap?
You found him to be nice.
He was nice
Why
to me
you
that
give
night.
Us, give our listeners the honest show you give all of us.
But okay? He was
when
nice.
You talk about
no,
what
no,
an
now
ass
listen,
he yeah. was to you.
Listen, no, he was not an
oh
ass to me.
God.
He was
oh,
nice
God.
To
face.
Me, but he was an ass. And the quote I remember
Tell him.
Is that I was letting, you know, he was just talking. I was eating it up because he's a disc jockey I grew up with. And at one point he said, now, I wonder where I parked my $80,000 automobile.
Yeah, and he's showing off in front of
you. So he was showing off. And you know what? In a way, to me, that was nice, okay?
How's that nice?
It was just nice. It was he let me hang around him. So there you go. Right. But
anyway.
But Mike, yeah. I wanted to tell you this, is they were talking about how...
Yes? Yeah.
I'll right, try no, to keep ahead. This brief.
Okay.
They were talking
the
about how when...
stand next to him.
When Elliot and Woodside came to Q107, they got an amazing contract, a legendary contract.
Oh, they did.
And they asked him about it, and he said, I don't want to talk about money, but I do remember a $25,000 signing bonus.
That's funny. That is funny.
So
yeah, because they were on WPGC before that. So back in the day, every market has this. Every market,
yes.
it's changed a little bit. It's the homogenization of radio where voice tracking and management has insinuated itself so much that it's really, really hard to, deal with. And you just don't get what you used to get.
Why do I feel like he's just going to go to another radio station? Like
who, Jack?
Yeah, they might as well just put him
Jack
on.
Jack will go. I get the total. I mean, watching his farewell,
what's
it sounds like
guy,
they've got
the
another
drive?
Gig.
See, he keeps implying that he has something ready to go.
No, well, I mean, that radio that he does, with supreme respect to Jack Diamond, I'm sorry, I'll say it. With total respect to Jack, I mean, that's a very safe show to put anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not like me.
No.
You know where I'm talking about farts.
This is more about the radio station than Jack going away.
Yeah, this is the radio station. But Jack, I think, and we'll let you know when it really happens. Mm-hmm. I think Jack's a real super survivor.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Jack, you know, went on that hiatus for a year where he wigged out and he went to other radio stations where he'd last for 2 weeks and they still hired him back.
I'm out of
here. He's got a magic touch. I had an agent for like 2 years that I'm going, please, you know, give me anything, please. Maybe, Moline,
maybe,
give me Moline.
Maybe, maybe and, it's because you didn't wig out.
I didn't. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe he scares people. But no, I think that his crew will do fine. I got that from Jeff, but you can't also, you know, you have to take everything he says with a grain of salt.
He is at his heart a disc jockey.
We're going to be fine. Maybe he's going to do a podcast.
A podcast with music is tough.
It is.
That's,
he could do a Jack cast.
I've seen enough shows across the country. Some of them have succeeded, but if they are music heavy, they have to really work around the rights. And that is a big financial hurdle.
Maybe we could focus on content.
Was anybody calling in on this?
Show? I didn't. I only listened for about an hour and 15 minutes because
they might
have
recorded some stuff too.
No, it all seemed live because I saw that he was streaming it, but there were no listener calls.
And this is why. Look, and Jack could probably. I would say he would be successful because of his name, and I imagine that if you can do what he's done for so many years, you could actually have a long format interview, which would work, right? But as an ensemble cast built around music and daily.
That won't happen. Probably.
No,
but it might happen. You might land on another radio station.
That's what I'm
Isn't
saying.
There,
that built around music has to happen, I think, at a radio station.
So where's the drive? Where's that?
94.7.
Is that ours? Our old employer?
Entercom.
It's Entercom. That's where I think he's
going to end up. Radio is no longer.
I think that's where he's going to end up. I said that
well,
3 months ago.
Well, call CK and ask him if he knows.
You know? Hey, it wasn't CK his choice.
Let me text him.
Wasn't his choice to hire him.
Ask CK if Jack Diamond's coming to the drive.
Hey, are you interested in a Jack cast?
Is Tommy McFly gone? Is he fired?
I believe he is no longer in the market.
He's no longer there.
No, but we've got...
You know what I love? You know what makes me happy? You guys are as disengaged and you're in the market still. I like that.
Well, that's Mike, cool. The market has ceased to exist. There's no radio in this town anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate. So
sometimes I'll listen to WTOP to find out the traffic.
Mike asked me to text you and see what the story with Jack Diamond is. Is he going to the drive? Is that fair?
That's good.
Okay. Thank you.
Why don't you don't want to take ownership of that question?
Well,
guess he wants you want to get it up the flagpole.
Well, so it's not like me just randomly going to work
and
asking, you know.
Parenthetically, say that Jack Diamond knows sports, and you may want to look into it.
Mike suggests that if Chad has another tantrum, anyway, no, that's funny.
Hey, did you see the Capitals?
have this personality. For those of you around the country, my apologies. Hey, how you doing? Boy, oh boy, those Nationals are sure having a tough time at the plate. Hey.
Tough night for the Bullets.
Yeah, this is great, great, great. And this is the drive I made. This is the drive I made coming every day right up River Road. All right, I'm sorry. That's it. You know what? I want to keep it on the high level. To all the people over there at Mix, you know, Jack and Jimmy, you guys were super nice to me when I was over there. To Jim Elliott, a legendary personality. To Scott Woodside. I never knew Scott. I never knew Scott Woodside at all. And
he's in the funeral business now.
Right, right. Is it, by the way, is the right wing station going away too?
No, or are WMAL, they keeping that one? Oh, they're staying.
Yeah, you know, some people are very lucky. That's
why the
cream rises to the top.
They should bring back Tom Gager.
If I'm not mistaken, Cumulus is continuing to own that station.
That stick.
Yeah, that stick. Right. They're not all selling right. their entire portfolio.
Mm. Yeah, of course they'd keep that one. Chris D. Plant. All right, thank you very much. Start the show. Thank you very much.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
2:15 p.m. We had been advised to follow up on a theft at 8823467 Magnolia Boulevard. At this time of day, it took us 20 minutes to get there. The complainant was the landlady, Juanita Borden.
You want?
Police officers, ma'am.
About time you pencil dick showed up. Why couldn't you have got here before that big, bad, stupid-looking piece of sewage breath stole my white wedding dress?
Miss Borden, sewage breath would be your little nickname for...
Muzz. Emil Muzz. That asswipe also stiffed me for 2 months' rent when his deposit check bounced. Goddamn pus-faced little pimpstick. All that was left in his room was a big box of these things.
Any idea where this Emil Muzz could be right now? Friends? Family?
Nah, he was a loner. Took off in the middle of the night. Useless scum-lapping shitbag.
Just the facts, ma'am. He leave anything else behind?
Yeah, tape deck, which I had to sell to make up for the lost rent. So there's nothing you can do about it, you slimy little jizz bucket.
Yes, ma'am, although I should point out to you that technically you could be cited for swearing at us like that.
Says who, flathead?
Says the California Penal Code, section 314.1, covering obscene live conduct in public. Good enough for you, lady?
No checks of money, I looked. I should have thrown it all in the river the day he left, but unlike some people, I have a heart, goddammit. That miserable little bag of puke.
Frank's late.
Wow.
Must have been held up in traffic.
Frank won't be coming in today, Joe.
24-hour virus.
Or tomorrow.
48.
Frank quit. Bought a goat farm. Moved to Ukiah. Left you this note. He was too broken up to talk about it. Said he knew you'd understand.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. TMOS to our friends. It's a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for their program, from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to Vienna, Austria, from Raleigh, North Carolina to Torino, Italy, from Frankfurt, Germany to Speedway, Indiana. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Sleep Number. You've heard me talk how much I love my Sleep Number, but I do. I love it, love it, love it. If you've considered a Sleep Number bed, but you thought, I can't afford one, think about how much it will benefit you.
Yes.
And think about if you can really afford another restless night's sleep. There's never been a better time to save on proven quality sleep. Now, during the Memorial Day sale, a Queen 360 smart bed starts at only $9.99. So many couples disagree on mattress firmness. Sleep Number 360 smart beds let you choose your firmness on each side. That is smart. The Sleep Number 360 smart beds are so smart, they sense your every move and automatically adjust to you so you sleep comfortably throughout the night. My Sleep Number setting is an 85. Carla's is a 65, and we love, love, love it. Come in during the Memorial Day sale and save $1,000 on a new Sleep Number 360 special edition smart bed for a temperature balancing comfort at an exceptional value. Remember, you'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com/TMOS to find the one nearest you. And as Doug Limerick likes to say, And when you do, tell him that Mike O'Mara sent you.
In the burbs.
I'm Doug Limerick. Just got a text from CK.
Oh, good.
Chris Kennard, who tells me, yes, Jack Diamond will be starting on the drive Monday.
Oh, that's
Monday.
Great. That's good news.
I did not get that CC back.
Oh, you didn't get
you
that.
You went right to the top.
Right to the top.
Since you gave my name. Thank
so,
you,
Mike,
Chris,
are
for
you,
that
are
update.
Are you excited? Because I was looking at the calendar today, and did you realize that tomorrow, we won't be on the air tomorrow, but tomorrow is the beginning of birthday season.
Ah, yes. June is bursting out all over. How special that will be. Yeah, we are going to be, I think we leave at 5:45 in the morning tomorrow.
Oh, that doesn't work for me. You got to do six.
Yeah, we'll be out and up in the
New England. You guys should be excited.
New England.
Yeah. Birthday season is a beautiful time in New England.
It's, June in New England. Maybe I'll write a song.
I think you should.
Yeah, sure.
Did you watch the Scripps Spelling Bee at all last night?
I did. Is it happening? Is it in our nation's capital?
It is in our nation's capital.
Where they usually have it?
I watched it for a good hour. It was that or the NBA Finals. Mm. Ask me what's wrong with my life. And
I'm shocked you can spell NBA.
I'm sitting there and
Raptors.
I'm watching this with Rob Ford. And
oh boy,
it's roughly 8 o'clock. And
you're here at Podcast Village?
Yes, we just finished up our project. So okay. I bought him dinner. We're sitting there eating our
No way you're profiting on that.
Our Peruvian chicken. And I said, let's keep the spelling bee on, forget about the NBA finals. And we're watching these kids. And this girl gets up. By the way, there's, spoiler alert, 8 winners because they tie at the end.
8-way tie, that's right.
They got to split the pot.
I love their theme music for the spelling bee. That's my, I always, you always know when you hear it that it sounds
funny.
Can I, it's this. All right.
Yes.
I'm happy you mentioned that.
Okay, sorry.
So Rob and I, and I don't know if this is appropriate, who cares, I was like, there's not like a token white kid. Like, let's get a token involved. Like,
they don't even have a token. They don't even have a token.
This girl gets up.
John.
And I don't have her name.
Smith.
But she looks like she's a substitute teacher. And
that's a good description.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God. There's got to be something online about this lady not being 12 years old.
Right.
Because like, she looks really, really old.
Yeah, she looks like a substitute teacher. And she's
in
getting
her 20s.
Everything. Yes. Yes. If anybody's watched Pen 15 on Netflix, it's the same setup. It's the same setup. The white girl that gets up, yes. She seems nice enough, but she looks like she's in Pen 15 trying to act like she's 12.
So the white girl looks older.
Yeah, she looks older.
All right.
Now, I only mention that for further context when you're sitting there and you're like, oh, who would have thought in a world of what I would say the melting pot, and acceptance and inclusion, that Rob and I, especially me, of all people, is rooting for Whitey. And
I'm looking at her right now. They just had her on. She have red hair?
Yes!
Oh, my God. She was just on CNN. I'm
yes!
looking at my monitor over here. Yes! Oh, my God. Wow.
Yes.
So she's like 6'8".
She looks like she's a cast member, one of the main cast members that wrote Pen 15.
Now, if you don't know, Mike, Pen 15 is a show about middle school where all the characters are played by middle schoolers except the leads, who are played by full-grown women. And it takes you about 8 minutes to get past the fact that these are full-grown women that are in middle school, and it is one of the funniest shows I've ever seen on Netflix.
So I'm sitting there, and we're literally like you're rooting for a championship. Rooting for the underdog.
Meanwhile, she's up there saying, could I have a derivation, please?
And I said, I know this isn't racist, but I feel wrong about saying, we got to root for the token. We got to root for...
Hey,
I mean, right?
It's not racist.
She's the underdog. She may be cheating, and she may have a PhD, but she's the underdog.
She's the underdog.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's okay. I mean, it just shows that over the years, I think the ethnicity of the winners have been from India.
It's true. Yeah.
Primarily, right?
Yeah. I think statistically we'll bear that out, yes.
Not that it matters, but
also,
that's it. You know, they excel in that. Certain Indian children excel in spelling.
This is taking a deep dive, Mike. A deep dive. The host,
We all know that we're like, we all know that right now we're wandering through the forest with quicksand and we're not really, even though we're doing a podcast, we're sitting there going, okay, are we okay here? I think we're okay
here.
And I know that both of you are
Sometimes you got to root for the underdog. And Whitey is the underdog.
Hank Haney, just the other day on his serious show, the famed golf teacher stepped in a giant mud pie he was talking about the LPGA. And you know, he got in horrible trouble because he said, when talking about the LPGA and the championship coming up, he said, well, I bet you a Korean will win. That's what he said. Okay,
in that tone.
I didn't hear the tone.
Up until then, I always thought LPGA was a Spanish golf tour.
Like ELPGA.
Yeah, I was going the way it sounded. LPGA.
As a Latino, I'm not insulted. So
You should not be.
You're a moron. So we said, look, Rob, we have to see how far she goes. And then as we're rooting for this one substitute teacher that infiltrated this competition. If they're going to split the money, they should give $1 million. Not 50K.
Can I make a
50K
point
split
before
eight
you
ways
continue?
Does nothing.
No, they
Can
all
I
get
make,
50K.
Each one?
Can I make one point before I forget it? Because I want to make sure.
Yes.
And I'll ask you, as the resident minority on the Mike O'Mara show, I will ask
you
your opinion of this. When Hank Haney, and Rob's absolutely right, it's all about tone.
It is.
It's all about the tone he takes in it. But if we are making jokes about the fact that on the Ladies Professional Golf Association, a tremendous amount of success from South Korean women is had, that aren't we celebrating that to a certain extent? Aren't we mocking the fact that we, the White Devils, are not in the same ballpark? The spelling bee.
That's a category.
When we talk about the fact that there is a token white girl that's in the country, aren't we, in a way, celebrating the fact that the Indian Americans are excelling?
I don't think we're... This show is one of the most inclusive shows in America.
That's true.
I agree.
We are not...
I agree.
I'm letting you know what one Latino, one white man are doing at 8 p.m. at night instead of watching the NBA Finals. We're rooting for the substitute teacher who happens to be white in a predominantly...
Thank you for your support.
American and I would say of ethnic heritage from India/Bangladesh.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we're there. And you at this point, you think nothing can take us away from this except for when they go to a pre-produced package. And this is basically ESPN, like the way they set it up.
I love having Carla. Thank you for putting my CNN monitor on because I'm seeing the trophy being handed out right now. And there she is. She's not as tall as I thought she was.
But on television, she looks like she's like maybe getting her master's.
Is she the tallest contestant though?
No, it's the way that she was dressed was like. She was dressed like a 30-year-old.
Okay.
I am looking at the lovely Allison Camerota with John Berman on CNN, and we are looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 children and one red-haired grown woman.
Yeah.
Looks like she's proctoring the SATs.
She's the chaperone on the field trip to D.C.
Stay, find a buddy. Find a buddy.
Is her name Aaron? Is her name Aaron
I'm almost
Oscar?
I'm 100% sure, yes.
Yes, Aaron and... I am not trying to be controversial. I cannot pronounce the other first names. I am sorry, but it's true.
It's fine. Also, somebody get that lady's birth certificate.
Aaron. Shruthika.
Aaron. Somebody get it.
You're a birth.
Now, Mike, you're going into dangerous territory.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the names. They're all set up. They've got name tags around them. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'll stop.
So one kid was from Clarksville, Maryland. We were rooting for a hometown guy. Didn't work out for him, I don't think. So we...
spell the word crab.
They go to a pre-produced package of the spelling bee. Like you would in sports, a highlight of somebody.
Sure, to cover something. Yeah.
So they were probably a time gap or some kid passed out like they do every year.
Right.
And then they go to the pre-produced package.
Maybe Aaron needed a cigarette.
It's the host. Pony, find the host, the host's name for the spelling bee, please, if you don't mind. The host on television the night of the spelling bee, live, looks good. He looks like he's
got... they had a co-champion.
They have eight of them.
They have eight champions.
It's an eight-way tie.
All eight people won.
An eight-way tie? That's why it made history?
Yeah, that's why it made history.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
So,
I like that.
The host, and we'll get his name in a second, looks great on camera, live on TV. They go to a pre-produced package. And Mike, if this is, I kid you not, this has got to be online. And they were talking about this on Twitter.
Okay.
Where whoever shot him for this pre-produced package was like, you want to know more about me? Like, I like to do this. I'm into science. And why do I know about words? Yada, yada, yada. He had, I think, a mole lanced off.
Oh, no.
Prior to this package being filmed. And nobody put makeup on him. He was bleeding the entire time, and they played this.
Wow!
On
one
television.
Of the kids, one of the eight.
No,
this is the host,
a grown man.
Oh, the host
was
bleeding.
A man in his 50s.
Oh, he had a gusher.
He had a gusher the entire time, wow. And I said, "This man is hated by the crew."
Yes,
no one wants to put makeup on him. They could have put a little foundation, right? A little dabble, do you?
Something.
The man.
That's awesome.
Looked like shoot him in his profile.
It looked like it was done on purpose.
Wow.
So at that point, Rob and I said, we can't eat and watch this anymore. We have to switch it to another channel.
But makes, my Peruvian chicken tastes like copper.
Yes.
So
congratulations to all those wonderful kids that tied. They all were great. That's
I'm shocked
awesome.
That Oscar brought up the spelling bee. I didn't think that was in his purview. Do you consider yourself a good speller?
Yeah, relatively.
You?
There are words that I block on.
Thank God.
One of my tripping embarrassment is one that I have trouble
with. License. I never can spell the word
spell
license.
Spell congressman. Good luck.
CONGRESSMAN.
I have 12 of the final. I have 12 of the final words that they used on the spelling bee. If you'd like to take a crack at it, I was going to use this in the bonus show. But
just briefly, one of our podcasts. Wait, do you have the name?
Yeah, it's Jacques Bailey.
Okay, that guy.
Jacques? I hate ponies sometimes.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Such a honest to God.
I'm back.
Jacques, how is it spelled?
It is J-A-C-Q-U-E-S.
Jacques.
That's
Jacques.
Whatever.
Not Jacques.
Hi, my name is Matt Bloom, and I work with a guy named O'Mara. His first name is Michael. We should break and then
break.
We can do the words when we come back.
All right, we'll come back and spell. And Pony's trying to be like, you know, Jacques.
Oh, I got this. Look, Oscar asked me something, and only 10 minutes later, I have the answer.
We'll take a break and come back with our little spelling competition right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Greetings from Moscow. This is your Russian BFF, Vladimir Putin. Here in Mother Russia, all is well. Comrades are enjoying temperate climate, cordial government, and much cabbage and state-provided cheese. Never you are hungry. Everything we have here, except for one thing. We do not have O'Mara Mike Show podcast. State-controlled internet is limited to WebMD and right-wing game compulsive. Lucky for you, you can get personal and close-up contact with Mike, Robsky, and Mario on November 16th in Las Vegas, Nevada, at Most Excellent Zippo's headquarters. Get tickets at MikeO'MaraShow.com. This is second show that is different from first show. Go to both. You'll be glad you did. That was funny, yes? Russia for Russians and TMOS for all. Nostrovia.
Thank you, Premier, or Vlad. Welcome back
to
the Mike O'Mara Show.
He's a king.
He's king. King Putin. God damn it.
What?
I hate gluten. It's the worst. Gluten really cheeses me off. Don't you hate it too?
I do.
If you do, let us know by calling TMOS Celiac Shack. Damn it, gluten. I just hate it when I ingest you and my body mounts an immune response that attacks the small intestine. That really grinds my gears, bucko. Oh, I hate the cramping, the rash, and the stunted growth. But oh, how I do love the TMOS bonus show. The bonus show has been gluten-free since 2013. Back then, we used to bake the bonus show with wheat and rye flour, but no more. The bonus show is 100% gluten-free, and it can be yours for just a few extra pennies. Plus, you'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. So please buy our bonus thing. Just go to our website, clickety-click. Ta-da! Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Where is it? Ta-da!
There it is.
Thank you. The TMOS bonus show may contain tree nuts. Mike, thank you very much.
Remember, if you have trouble with gluten, to call the TMOS Celiac Shack.
The Celiac Shack. Get it? Celiac disease?
That's a funny, funny disease.
Funny disease. All right, I'm ready. I'm ready to spell bees. You have the answers.
Yes.
I have not seen them. I did not watch the spelling bee.
Actual words that were used.
This is just me. All right, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. The first one.
Can you have all the information? Like, you know.
I don't know if I have derivations. I do have definitions.
Oh, perfect.
All right.
Perfect,
okay. Perfect. So, Mike, here we go for you. The first word, crystallographer.
Ooh.
Crystallographer is someone who deals with the science that deals with the formation and structure of crystals. This is from round three.
All right, hold on just a second.
Crystallographer.
C-R-Y-S-T-A-L-O-G-R-A-P-H-E-R. No, wait, let me do it again. C-R-Y-S-T-A-L-O-G-R-A-P-H-E-R.
Then you have to say the word again.
Crystallographer.
Sorry, that is incorrect. Two L's in crystallographer. Two L's in crystallographer.
So that was my only mistake, was not adding the L.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know what I don't like about the spelling bee? Is in a spelling bee, when you get it wrong, they give you a ding.
And that always seems to me. Like a regular, is it that handheld bell that they have?
And it sounds to me like you get it right when that happens.
You also get a 45-second warning and then a 30-second warning, which intensifies your spelling.
So it's C-R-Y-S-T-A-L-L-O-G-R-A-P-H-E-R.
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't get it right. Woo! Sorry, give
Oscar,
me the next one.
Your
I'm
word?
Here.
Parvenuism. Parvenuism.
Where does the word derive from?
It's a noun meaning parvenu nature or behavior.
Does it have Greek origin?
It has great origin. One that has recently or suddenly risen to unaccustomed position of power or wealth, yet not yet gained prestige, dignity, or manner associated with. Parvenuism.
Can you repeat the information?
Yes. It is one that...
No, just have
this
him spell the
This is what they did
God
yesterday. I'm going
I know,
what they did.
But you're not going to get it anyway, so just spell it.
Why won't you root for me, man? Come on.
I'm rooting for you to win.
Give it to me again.
Parvenuism. A noun meaning one that has recently or suddenly risen to an unaccustomed position of power or wealth, but has not yet gained the prestige, dignity, or manner associated with it.
Is it from Italian origin?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. Par. P-A-R.
Oh, what did you start it with?
Par.
Okay.
Menuism.
Parvenuism.
Oh, parvenuism.
Yeah, please speak distinctly. And
okay. P-A-R-E-V-E-N-S-O-N.
Mike, give him a ding. He missed that. That's right.
The answer, we use buzzers.
The answer we're looking for, P-A-R-V-E-N-U-I-S-M.
Oh, close.
Parvenuism.
Didn't get a root
very
origin.
Very phonetic.
Yes,
very phonetic.
Yeah, I could have
like
done
that.
All right, Mike, your word.
Yes, I'm ready.
Great word. Plumbiferous.
One more time. Can you not say it quickly,
Yeah, shut
please?
Your mouth.
Don't get bitter because you can't spell.
All right?
Just,
all right, I'm ready.
You sit quietly like the lady with the red hair.
I'm still finding the forehead bleeding picture.
Thank you. Plumbiferous is an adjective meaning containing lead. Plumbiferous.
Oh, like, can you put it in a sentence?
I got it.
Yes.
Plumbiferous.
Can you spell that one more time? Judges want to hear it one more time.
Plumbiferous.
Plumbiferous.
Oh, plumbiferous.
Yeah,
okay.
Biff.
Plumbiferous. Plumbiferous.
Give yourself a ding. That is dead on.
Oh, yay. Oh, so that's our thing.
Yeah.
It says I got it right.
Woo!
How about that?
Yeah.
And plumbiferous. I can actually give you that is a Latin
in
derivation from plumbus, meaning lead.
Yes.
That's why
my plumbing is plumbiferous.
Oh, that's bad.
Plumbiferous.
That's bad, right?
Which is true,
what
by
is
the way.
What is plumbiferous?
Plumbiferous meaning having to do or containing lead. If you remember back to chemistry, plumbus, PB, is the symbol for lead. because that's the Latin. That.
Never buy an old house. I got a call from my neighbor. The city's charging us to change our pipes from the street to our house.
Neighbor called up and said.
Because they're plumbiferous.
They're plumbiferous.
Like the neighbor called up and said.
I said, how much? He said, we can talk about that when you get up.
Oh, wow. That's going to be pricey. Digging up pipes.
The neighbor said, do you have any lead in your water? Because I think we got trouble with our pipes.
Plumbiferous.
Mike.
All right. Yes.
The word is woebegoneness.
Ooh.
Woebegoneness.
Keep it going, Mike. I'm rooting for you.
It's a noun related to the word woebegone, meaning strongly affected with woe.
Woe. Oh, man.
W-O-E-B-E-G-O-N-E-S-S.
Ooh.
Great. Does it not have the E?
No, that's incorrect. You left out a syllable there.
Great try.
It was very close. W-O-E-B-E-G-O-N-E-N-E-S-S. Woebegoneness.
Right. Hate this game.
Well, it's not for us, Mike. It's for kids.
We're doing it for the kids.
Yeah, we've got Grammarly. We've
right,
got
give
spell
Oscar.
Check.
Oscar.
I'm back, baby.
Neutercane.
Ooh.
Neutercane. It's a noun meaning a subtropical cyclone that is usually less than 100 miles in diameter that draws energy from sources common to both the hurricane and a frontal cyclone. Neutercane.
Okay. Neutercane. And I'll do what the kids do on television.
Right. Oh, they look at their hand?
They spell it out on their hand like they're writing on their
hand.
And
if he doesn't get it, I want to try it.
Okay. And I didn't say this. Oscar, I need to say this before you spell. All points are doubled.
Oh!
All right. Very exciting. All right. Go ahead. Hold on. Spell it.
Neutercane.
Neutercane.
N-E-U-T-E-R-C-A-N-E. Neutercane.
He got that right.
Yay!
This hand.
N-E-U is, I was going to go N-U-E, and you're right, N-E-U, right?
Yeah, and she works at Channel 9 now.
Who's that?
N-E-U.
N-E-U. That's it. Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mike, we have one time for one more before the break?
I'm ready.
All right. Pince-nez. And I'll give you a hint, because this is uncommon.
Pince-nez.
Pince-nez is a hyphenated word. All right? So there is a hyphen in it. Pince-nez is a noun meaning eyeglasses that clip to the nose with a spring action.
Ooh.
Pince-nez.
Just like in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
Yeah, and think Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh.
Pince-nez.
Pince-nez. P-I-N-C-E hyphen. N-E-Z.
Nailed it!
Play the music. That's a good way to end that.
Big win.
That's Oscar and Mike both getting a spelling.
We
did well.
You did very well.
We're adults.
And, that's exciting.
And
play
the music.
The
thing I didn't tell
play
you.
Play the music.
I'm playing it. Give me the goddamn music. Didn't know you were going to break there.
Yeah, well, that's
on
the
high note,
we're up
man.
On 50. We're on the 50 mark. Come on.
I wanted Oscar to get a chance to win.
No. Sorry.
He was going to have to spell Montessorian.
Oh, I know Montessorian.
M-O-N-T-E-R-R-S-O-R-A-N.
Sure.
Thank you. We'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The Yak Shack line is ringing. The Yak Shack line is ringing.
It's time to cheer. The Yak Shack's here. So call up when you're full of beer. We're all in store for fun rapport. Call 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-MORE.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. The problem? Premature ejaculation. Just the facts, Jack. It's not unusual. In fact, up to 39% of men experience it, so is the fun ending too quickly? Most guys aren't thrilled at the thought of opening up to a doctor about performance problems. The solution, 4hymns.com, the wellness brand for men. Visit 4hymns.com to get convenient and affordable treatment for your early arrivals. They connect you to a doctor online who can evaluate you and help identify the right treatment. Best yet, it can be delivered right to your door in discreet packaging, so no more awkward in-person doctor's appointments. So if you want to slow your roll and make the good times last, go to 4hymns.com. Our listeners get a special offer. You can get started for just $10. Just go to 4hymns.com/TMOS10. Not the regular TMOS, it's TMOS10. That's forhims.com/TMOS10. See the website for full details and safety information, and we thank you. I wanted to just mention that yesterday all over the news was the fact that Alex Trebek indicates that his treatment is going extremely well for that very, very serious diagnosis of stage 4 pancreatic cancer. That, you know, and I just want to say, I hope he wins. I hope he continues to win. And, you know, we're all rooting for him. He's become a little more than a game show host over the last few weeks. The combination of his diagnosis with James Holzhauer and that amazing run that he's having, it makes it just in the national spotlight. I don't know, you know, things happen for a reason, mm-hmm. but it just will be, I think it'll make the country feel good.
Yeah.
If Alex Trebek can beat this cancer. And,
God willing.
You know, I did a deep dive because he also yesterday was speaking to maybe People Magazine. They had the excerpts of the interview where he's talking about how much his wife means to him. And there is a 24-year age difference between Alex and his wife.
Wow,
and
she's much older.
She is 24 years his junior.
Oh, okay.
And it was, you know, I looked over, I said, and he's talking about how great. And by the way, he's this age now and he looks good and she looks good. And I said, isn't that wonderful? I really can relate, Carla, to those two. And I hear, and I'm like, I hear from the couch. About, I literally hear no response. I said, did you hear what I said? And she says, uh-huh. I'm like, I said, do you have a romantic bone in your body? I'm giving you this little, like, I think it's so wonderful they're together, and this is on the heels of my tremendous insecurity in general.
Right.
I just, maybe it's because we're making the pilgrimage up north.
No, come on, Carla. No. He looks good.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
Yes.
Do you think that...
what does that mean?
I mean...
What in the name of God does that mean? Because I'm fat? Is that what this is all about?
Now, you said you weren't going to do that anymore. Don't do that.
No. Well, what did he mean, by the way? Let me show you the body language. You didn't see that. Oscar just looks at me and goes, well,
that's...
He looks good.
That's not you being fat. That's him being a dick. I mean,
I know. But he's saying if I was TV ready, then Carla would probably go, yeah, we're just the same. His wife is beautiful.
Is Carla engaged with Jeopardy? Does she like the Jeopardy?
Carla and I are regular.
That's thing.
Well, I know, but I was wondering. I know that you prefer Jeopardy to Wheel. Does she prefer Wheel to Jeopardy if she had
No. Okay. No, she is. She prefers Jeopardy too.
Okay.
Who cannot prefer Jeopardy right now with that buzzsaw? And by the way, he had another one of those nights last night where they bring these two contestants in, and it's literally like bringing cows into a slaughterhouse.
Oh,
I mean,
dear.
You're just seeing that. Let's welcome Phil and Debbie. You got your hand. Same pattern. You got your hands full tonight, and you see them with their wide eyes getting ready to go to the, you know, the sawmill, who is James Holzhauer.
And go to the guy after the second commercial break. He's got a belt around his arm trying to bring up a vein.
You all know what Kobe beef is?
Yeah.
Close your eyes. We'll go on three.
It's really, it's amazing. And he is a little cocky now.
Yeah, now.
And, you know, with the patter. But I really, really, outside of James Holzhauer,
he's winning.
How do you not respect a man like Alex Trebek, who got that diagnosis and immediately went public with it and has continued to work diligently? Where, you know, there are a lot of people, man, that get that and fold their tent up, and that is...
We've all dealt with people with cancer. We all have.
Right.
And yeah.
You more than anybody on this show.
But what he got was essentially a death sentence. I mean, it was deep. It was stage 4 at diagnosis. That's a tent-folding situation.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We don't know yet.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, and you know what? And Oscar, I don't like to say that, but it does make me... You know, I don't think he would come out and mention tumors reduced by 50% or that progress was being made. I really don't think he would do that. I don't think it would be any. There's no angle that I see.
Okay. And I'm not playing the end game either. Yes. What I was agreeing with Mike, the fact that
I'm just
it's honorable.
Do you think he's doing happy talk by doing that?
We mentioned this briefly, the power of prayer and
positive thinking.
And positive thinking and how that's, if doctors are boggled by the idea that this has happened so quickly, that's not natural. I mean, this is a death sentence, right?
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
They got the 2%, what is it, 98% fatality rate?
9% fatality rate.
No, 98.
9% survival rate.
I'm sorry, 92%, 91% fatality, 9% survival. Right. To be part of that 9%.
Yeah, but you know what? 9%. It happens. Yeah. It does happen.
It does happen.
So you're saying I got a chance?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're a monster.
A 91 is a B+ in any grading system.
He's all ramped up. We better do Oscar's take. Let's take
Oscar's
a break.
Take.
Oscar's take.
We're going to do that when we come back right here.
That spelling bee really got me moving.
Let's record it and then delete it. Okay.
Full of gadgets. What it is. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he looks good.
Well, anyway. What do you expect?
We'll look like a funhouse
mirror.
Yeah. I asked for a towel today. She forgot that, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh God.
Yeah. In the shower saying, can you get me a towel? Yeah. Oh, I forgot. You're not on my mind. Anyway, we'll take a break. And we'll come back with more fun. Oscar's take on the
Oscar's
Michael Merrill
take.
Show.
Oh, man. Dan the Fan Man can't be here as he's busy helping the peace process in North Vinea. So I'm here as his backup. It's your man, Oscar Fantana.
That's right.
And when I'm not harassing Rob or mispronouncing again, I'm making one of my 800 shows. In fact, I'm announcing show number 801. I'm here to tell you all about
Tech Fan 101.
It's the newest show with me alongside
Dan the Fan Man.
We talk about anything and everything fan. This podcast is so hot, the only thing that can cool us down
are some high-quality fans.
And don't just take my word for it. Hear what my wife has to say.
Fanning the Miles.
What, I'm supposed to do Shannon? I'm not going to do Shannon's voice. I don't do girls' voices.
Or how about my favorite little guy, Phantos?
The dog? What are you doing?
So don't forget to buy a fan.
What are we even promoting? Buy a bonus show. That's real. Dan, go home.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring, challenging. You know that. But there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. It's the place where growing businesses connect with qualified candidates. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Or as Dan O'Brien would say, within the first day! Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Remember, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. And now, it's time for Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take, little buddy.
A review and comment on the news of the day that only our Bolivian bloviator can do. The views expressed by Oscar Santana in no way reflect the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, its listeners, or the right-thinking people of the United States. And now, without further ado, it's time for Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take!
Oscar, Dollar Tree is adding alcoholic drinks to about 1,000 Family Dollar stores in its latest effort to turn around the struggling chain.
Yes.
Chesapeake, Virginia-based Dollar Tree. There's
I
your
didn't
problem.
No, they were based
there's your
there.
Problem right there.
That's terrific.
Chesapeake, Virginia-based Dollar Tree.
How come we ain't making more money?
I got 4 quarters. Does that give me anything? Thar!
They announced the plans Thursday, saying it would also expand freezers and coolers at about 400 Family Dollar stores. The company recently announced plans to close up to 390 Family Dollar stores this year, mostly in the second quarter. In a normal year, it closes about 75. Dollar Tree acquired Family Dollar in 2015, but the acquisition has dragged the company's finances. Family Dollar's same-store sales rose only 0.1% in 2018 and 0.4% in 2017, prompting
Family Dollar bowls.
Family Dollar whiskey.
Fellas, this is
Family
about
Dollar acne wash.
This is about the Chinese. As most of their products come from China.
Yes.
Looming trade war and the tariffs have taken their forecast to another level.
Do Chinese provide things like
Family Dollar AA batteries?
It's going to cost them more, and you can't be Family Dollar and jack up the prices.
Right.
But you can start selling hooch, which I think is genius.
Yeah.
Something that's local, won't be tariffed, don't get fancy. A lot of Jack Daniels, a lot of Wild Turkey, get the local vodkas involved.
Chesapeake, Virginia vodka.
And by the way, as a man who's been to Chesapeake, Virginia, a beautiful place. Shockingly enough.
You're listening to Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen.
Oscar's Take.
Chinese.
What is wrong with your board today?
It is not responding to my loving touch.
Get the paddles.
There you go.
Oscar, Sacha Baron Cohen says Pamela Anderson's marriage to Kid Rock ended because of her involvement in the Borat movie. Just a funny story. Borat is obsessed with Pam throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And there's a scene towards the end where he tries to kidnap her at an autograph signing. As you probably know by now, she was actually in on the joke. In a new interview, Sacha Baron Cohen says he texted Pamela after she showed Kid Rock the movie. He asked her how it went, and she said they were getting divorced. Yeah, he asked her why, and she wrote back, "The movie." He adds, quote, "I thought it was a joke, but then a few weeks later they got divorced and they put the reason for divorce, Borat." So it had some casualties. Do you think this is true? That's interesting.
And remember to call her the way Borat did. He called her Pamela.
Pamela.
I think it's true. And I'll tell you why. Because it painted America in a bad light. And if you really look at the root of this, and this isn't going to be funny, that I don't want Kid Rock, or Kid as I used to know him when I used to watch him on MTV, to be this uber patriot that he could not handle his wife being part of a movie that paints America in a bad light. And
really?
Because think about the context of the movie. It all comes down to politics. And if you're sitting there at home and she's laughing and he can't laugh at a joke, or he's in a mind space that just won't allow him to. Wow. And as of late, we've seen his politics.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
It would draw to a conclusion.
Maybe it's true then. That's interesting. I like that take. Yeah. You're listening to Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen. Oscar, Mountain Dew just rolled out a new flavor called Mountain Dew Liberty Brew. I bet Kid Rock would like it.
Yeah.
And it's a soda that honors the 50 states of America by combining 50 flavors into one. And somehow it turned out bright blue. It's not clear what the 50 flavors actually are, and Mountain Dew isn't saying, but it's probably a lot of different fruit-based flavors based on the reviews. The drink started showing up in stores over Memorial Day weekend, and people who tried it said it tastes like grape, berries, and tropical fruits mixed together.
Delicious.
Sounds tasty.
This just in from the Spiewak Comedy Corral. More like Mountain Don't.
Thank you for selling it.
Am I right?
Beautiful. Right, ladies? More give me like back my paper. Don't. I may use that on Thank cake
you.
And cookies.
Thank you.
More like so Mountain
Literally, Rob
don't.
Is so excited. He writes me a note and says, say this. I think this is an epidemic in our world. I love mixing sodas. I rather do it on my own in one of those Coca-Cola freestyle machines.
Yeah, it's fun.
This reminds me of what Red Bull is doing now, Mike. Red Bull is no longer just your sugar-free Red Bull or just Red Bull in general. They've got all these flavors. They came out with a line of flavors that you're like, oh, right, a mango, orange.
I hate mango.
Any options, they could work.
Yeah.
And then this is where they jumped the shark. Summer Breeze. Summer Breeze Red
Bull. Makes me feel
fine.
You're
like, oh, Summer Breeze, refreshing, right. Should be great. Let me throw it in my gullet and see what I'll pay $5 for this can. I throw it in, and it's coconut. Coconut-infused Red Bull. Throw up all over the place. I throw it right in the trash can outside CVS, and I want my money back. I'm not man enough to ask for it, so I go and put another $5 for Old Faithful. So what I would say is this. Don't get too creative, people. You're not going to make everyone happy. You're just not.
That's it. What are you playing?
Summer Breeze. Okay. Where do you weigh in on Dr. Pepper?
I love Dr. Pepper.
I do too, and that's apparently that's 23 flavors. Maybe that's the ceiling.
They don't mess around though. Dr. Pepper, you got the 10. You got the Diet Dr. Pepper.
Love the Dr. Pepper 10.
You don't get these crazy flavors from them.
Who's more kooky, beverage company executives or radio station executives?
It's a tie.
Let's try a new flavor, and then let's mix them all together and sell them to the Christians.
Here's a new energy drink called Bert.
Yeah, you are listening to Oscar's Take, ladies
Oscar's
and gentlemen.
Take.
Oscar, Gallup does a poll every year that asks Americans if they think different things are morally acceptable or not. We have 13. We will tear through these. Stop me if you want to. Number 13, having an affair. Only 9% of people think it's morally acceptable. Number 12, cloning animals. 31% say that it's morally acceptable.
I think it's acceptable.
And only 12% say cloning humans would be okay. Pornography. 37% of people say yes.
Pretty high.
That's down from last year where 43% were okay with it.
Well, I think if you looked at people's history on their computer or their IP traffic, you find otherwise.
Yeah. Let's see. The next
Mike, we are literally, the world has not, I guess, this country. If you've got high-speed internet, you are procreating at a slower rate. Answer me this. Why do you think? Because guys are staying home and watching the computer.
Yeah, you're right. That's absolutely true. We need to get our act together. Number 10, abortion, 42%. Let's see. That's pretty steady. Number 9, wearing fur, 53% people, over half, think it's okay.
Depends how good it looks.
And how cold it is.
Yeah, and
60% of people are okay with the death penalty.
You got to pay the piper, Mike. I've always said that.
Wow. Only 63% of people are okay with people being gay. I didn't know it was that low.
What?
Yeah, 63%.
I thought you were cooler if you were gay at this point in our lives.
Mike, it says here 8% of people are okay with having sex with a cloned animal.
Thank you, Rob Spiewak. 65% say it's okay to smoke pot. 68% say it's okay to gamble. 71% are okay with sex before marriage. 77% are okay with divorce. 79% are okay with drinking alcohol.
Only 79?
Only 79%.
Lord.
And using birth control, this is interesting because abortion is only 42%, but birth control, 92% of people say it's okay.
Wow.
There you go.
These questions are all personal.
Yes.
And hot topic questions.
Yes, they are.
I really believe all the sexual ones you can take out because everybody wants to feel like they're, you know, moral in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
The
right.
divorce one blows my mind, Mike.
Yes.
It blows my mind.
A lot of people okay with divorce.
Because if Shannon always says to me, she goes, if you try to divorce me, I'll cut you. And I say,
good for her.
I say, look, let's not get violent about that. We got a solid prenup. I think that it says that you know, you don't get anything if you hurt me. So ideally, I don't like the theory of divorce either. Like, I think that it's the Catholic in me says no. Mm-hmm. But there's so many people
when
that
I think
are
Oscar,
for it.
I think Catholic.
There's so many people, Mike, that say they're for it. It's 71%.
77%.
Don't get married.
Pope Zabaios.
Don't get
divorce.
Married. Don't
divorce
get married.
Is, hold on, divorce. 77% of people think divorce is okay.
Yeah. How
almost
do you 80%. Feel about it?
Huh? I'm against it. Anyway, thank you very much. I was
and
against
yet
the first
keep...
two. And at least I keep doing it. It's a contradiction that is me. You're listening to Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen.
One of these
finally,
days,
Oscar, I hold in my hand the last Oscar's Take
I
item
know.
Here.
I know.
Ben and Jerry's just announced they're planning to make ice cream that's infused with CBD. That's pot, right?
Yes.
That's Jane. Once it's fully legalized as an ingredient for food and beverages. By the way, they are popping up down here. They're just like vape shops were a few years ago.
Really?
Where they're
CBD.
Yeah, which concerns
you know me
a little bit. You know, the fly-by-night, here, try this, and then you wig out.
Are you down with CBD?
Yeah, you know me. Sorry.
CDB. What's CDB? Do you know what CDB is?
I do not. Cecil B. DeMille made a lot of great movies.
Elvin Bishop sitting on a bale of hay. He ain't good looking, but he sure can play. And there's ZZ Top. It's CDB is the Charlie Daniels Band.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
Thank you. Anyway, once it's fully legalized, it could be soon. The FDA is holding a public hearing on legalizing CBD in foods. That should be followed by a few years of politicians grandstanding, and then eventually we'll get our CBD-infused ice cream. That's the last item we have.
There are cookies for animals that are sold with CBD here in the D.C. area. Yeah. There's a pizza joint down the street that changed their name to 420 Pizza. That's sold with God knows how much the pizzas cost and what you get for it, but it says 420 Pizza right down the street.
I bet you finish every pie.
And then,
wow.
So the idea that Ben and Jerry's, much like some alcohol companies around the world, have bought into these conglomerates, these grow houses on the West Coast, like software companies. They've bought in.
Like a futures, right?
Because they bought into 10 to 20% of these companies because they are diversifying and seeing the future where a lot of, not just CBD, but marijuana, actual marijuana, THC infused, will be everywhere. So if you're an alcohol company and you buy 20% of a marijuana grow company, you're doing that because you know in the long run people are going to have choices. So instead of beer and wine, they're going to choose beer, wine, marijuana. So this is just a step in the right direction. A big company like Ben and Jerry should see and get involved early, as their ice cream is the choice of I guess the national pothead of America. That's where you would go to.
I finished 3 pints of Heath Bar Crunch. That's it. That's Oscar's take, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a break.
Oscar's take.
When we come back, it's the last Audio Vault of the week, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Political Persuasions.
Hey, it's Chris Frates with Political Persuasions, and this week it's Mueller time. Robert Mueller, the special counsel, finally speaks after 2 years, and Mike doesn't like what he has to say. Plus, I convinced Mike impeachment is a bad idea, and the president as the chief petty officer? Tune in.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, yes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Bad words this week on Persuasions.
Yeah, we got into it a little bit. Yeah. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This just in from the TMOS Las Vegas show business headquarters. Here's a list of things that will not be happening at the TMOS 10th Anniversary Spectacular. To be clear, the following events have been canceled. Senior citizen goth square dancing. Glass blowing with Oscar Zaballos.
Oh, excuse me.
The Rob Spiewak hot fish tasting. Mike O'Mara and his singing rodents. Intermediate ham smoking seminar. Intermediate. 90-minute Hal Linden Q&A. Maddie Masiello's hostile work environment pro tips. Chrissy Metz's Eat This, Not That. The Matt Bloom Rev Up Your Personality Workshop. These things will not be happening.
No.
Management regrets the inconvenience. However, we can confirm that on November 16th, 2019, the TMOS crew will be in the Zappos corporate headquarters with the best show in Las Vegas. Night 2, all new. Tickets are on sale now at MikeO'MaraShow.com, but only while they last. And I was thinking about show number 2.
Yes.
There is no way that the beginning of show number 2 does not begin with us in the audience.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I love it.
I'll figure out a way that you won't know when it's going to happen.
I love it.
How dark can we make it in that theater?
Oh, let's pitch black.
That's the reason Hal Linden canceled. He didn't like the darkness.
Write it down. I think out loud, and I do it here. So if you missed out on the first sold-out show, this is your big chance. The TMOS 10th Anniversary Spectacular. 2 nights. First night is sold out. Second night is selling tickets fast. Brought to you by Zappos, and we thank you. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Friday, May 31st, 2019, Rob Spiewak.
Seems like we were just talking about him yesterday, but say hello to your favorite Austrian rapper, Mike.
Hello.
Arnold.
Hello.
Hi, Arnold.
Hello.
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 There's just a whimsical sort of tone.
Hello, Arnold.
Hi, Arnold.
Hello.
Trick or treat.
Hello.
Arnold, what do you say when you get a brand new Hummer?
Hello.
Okay.
He said the same thing to the house cleaner.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Hello.
What did you say when you went into the laundry room exposed fully?
Hello.
Okay.
All right. I bring him up for a reason. I know that, Mike, you're out there. You have your website, MikeOVO.com, where you like to do voiceover work and, you know, narrate things.
It's amazing how much traffic that gets.
Well, everybody needs narrators, and that's why.
Is that still a thing? Is that still out there?
Yes, absolutely.
It's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
How's it doing, Pony? Do you still check it every day?
It's great. I get all the emails.
Very good. Okay, that tells me all I need to know.
We got an email today that said...
Hello.
But
I haven't gotten one voiceover job through that website.
No, you have. You did. The barbecue thing.
What? Yeah, one.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Damn it. It would have been so much better if I didn't get anything.
You got one.
And it was fantastic.
I got one. Yeah, one. That's just the same. Yeah. By the way, what is it, Pony, if people want to send me a voiceover request?
You can go to MikeOVO.com and fill in the form at the bottom of the page.
Super easy.
Remember to click send.
Yes, do click send.
Yeah, and say
hello.
Feel the energy.
Now, Mike.
All right.
I can see why it might be tough to land a gig when Arnold is doing VO now.
Oh, wow, that's exciting.
He's narrating a documentary called The Wonders of the Sea.
Now, throughout the years, I've done so many different kinds of work, but never this kind.
Yeah.
Narrator of a documentary film. When I saw the footage, I realized right away this is a visual feast. It was not just entertaining, but it was also, from an environmental point of view, a message. Let's keep our ocean clean, and let's keep our world clean.
I think this is so brilliant
about this film, because it really, it makes you want to go and put a scuba tank on and go down into the water and explore it yourself. We discovered there's a whole other world there.
Here is the first track of his narration from the film.
Hello.
Also, the first trailer for Rambo Last Blood dropped yesterday.
With Sly?
Do you remember First Blood?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
Of course you do.
It's the iconic, he walks into town with a bag and...
Don't watch Action Adventure. Oh. Never have.
Well, you know
what I watched
the film,
for the first
though.
Time? I watched... Indiana Jones and the Skull.
Crystal Skull.
I watched that. The Crystal Skull. I watched that for the first time.
Not the best Indiana Jones movie.
Of all time.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, my kid liked it.
I liked the open where he gets in the refrigerator to dodge the nuclear blast. That was fun.
Yeah, very exciting. Yeah, mm-hmm. Very, very exciting.
And
yeah.
Karen Allen looking wonderful.
Yeah, very much so. Yuck.
Yuck. Anyway.
Yuck.
He made First Blood 40 years ago, I suppose, and now he's making Last Blood, in which he battles a drug cartel. He does some narration on this.
I've lived in a world of death. I've watched people I've loved die. Some fast with a bullet. Some not enough left to bury.
Wow. Could we get a glass of water to the voiceover booth, please?
Yeah, is he smoking?
This is
or
going
something?
To be a blockbuster hit.
Really?
It looks phenomenal.
Oh, okay. All right.
Have you seen Creed?
Yeah.
Great band.
Did you like Creed?
I watched 2 minutes of it. It's crap.
Oh, well, then you haven't seen the movie. The movie's great, actually.
Creed is actually amazing. Was it a boxing movie?
Yeah. Yes.
I like the passive aggressive. I like the passive aggressive when he says, "Well, actually, it's great."
They're both. This is the thing. If you take if you never watch any, if you weren't a Rocky fan, you're not going to be a fan of this.
Hello.
Right. And if you're not a Sylvester Stallone fan, you're not going to be a fan of this.
Right.
And
then
you,
I won't
if,
be.
If you don't know,
I love Talia Shire.
And if you don't know Rambo, and you're not a Rambo fan, you're definitely not going to get into this.
I'm not a Sly fan.
Oh, so then,
What about Sly and the Family Stone?
Oh, love him.
Great funk. Eric Quick is a great guy for submitting audio. He does a lot of great promos. Some of your favorite promos come from a listener named
Eric
Quick.
I'm aware of that man. A genius.
And he did a little matchup. He wanted to elevate Mike from Yuba to the next level.
Oh,
Mike.
Can't wait.
So, wow, I knew this might happen.
So here's a wonderful remix.
I got the itches from boning bitches. From boning bitches with little white bugs. All right. Like from you, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry. but I'm not sorry. God, I suck.
I know we're a minute or two over, but I have to play you this because it is the douche chilliest tape I have seen maybe in calendar year 29.
Wow.
Let me set it up for you. David Lee Roth is at a music festival in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And he's walking down the hall of his hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, this is not David Lee Roth from the 1984 album. This is David Lee Roth in a tweed jacket and a driving cap. He looks like a dad. He looks like...
Because he's bald.
Yeah. He's bald and he looks like, you know, a young child's father. And he hears Van Halen coming from a hotel room. So he knocks on the door to announce that I'm David Lee Roth and you're listening to Van Halen. But by all appearances... They don't know who the hell he is.
Which room had the Van Halen sound?
These guys.
Right here?
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's a happy neighbor. We heard some Van Halen here, and my name's David Lee Roth, and I'm right across the hallway.
He's laughing. They're not.
One and out. We're on our way to EDC, but the fellas here were coming down the hallway, and they said, we heard some Van Halen, and I said, no. So we're your neighbors, guys. We're off to EDC. Right, we're doing shit. And we heard one of the fellas said, I heard some Van Halen through the doorway. So I am Van Halen. Right here.
You hear him referring to EDC. That's the Erectile Dysfunction Conference. So
that's, he's also a client. That's your magic audio vault. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Oh, my God. Another one in the can. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of TMOS. If you have a message you'd like to hear on our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Tickets continue this weekend. We want it to be a big sales weekend for our Saturday night, November 16th show. That's our second show. First one sold out. Second one going fast. So go to MikeO'MaraShow.com. And get your tickets to night two of the TMOS 10th Anniversary Spectacular. We'll see you there. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Hello, 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 hello,
entertainment.
It's Mike again. I'm sorry. Mike from Yuba, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I have no life. I'm sorry.
Ah, but I'm not sorry.
Goodbye, duties.
God, I suck.